Meta has discontinued their top-of-the-line Quest Pro headset and looks to concentrate on their lower-end VR offerings. Plus, soon you can get SteamOS on handhelds that aren't on the Steam Deck. Tonight is January 12th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwood Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
So many years of hogwash here on VOG. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special affiliate anniversary or something edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us here live here on this Sunday night, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOG Network. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, but so far, we've just had a lot of party hats. We've had some party hats in chat. Because that's what apparently everybody gets on your affiliate anniversary. This was obviously a podcast. Welcome to all the podcast folks. You get to hear about the live part of it just for a little bit. We do have a Discord server. VOGnetwork.com/Discord is where you can find, you can talk back, and even if you can't be here on Sunday nights. But we moved from... We moved from Shoutcast Internet Radio finally to video and to Twitch in 2018. I've been doing this since 2005. I've been live streaming the whole time, always been Sunday nights at 8 for an hour. The show hasn't changed all that much. I just got a little bit older. But we moved over to Twitch in like December of 2018. And in order to be able to be affiliate, which means you can get the bits and subs and the hype trains that is going on in chat right now, where everybody's like, yay, happy anniversary, party hat. You have to like stream so many hours in a 30-day period. You need to have so many people watch. You need to have so many average viewers. So we spent that first month doing our podcast, and then we actually did like, I remember, was it Smash Brothers or Mario Kart that we played on like a weeknight, just to like say like we're going to stream some extra hours, because just doing our shows on Sunday night was not enough to become an affiliate. But then we finally got an affiliate. And we've been that since January 8th of 2019. And so here it is. And people have been resubscribing, and Twitch math is weird. They're like, people who were subscribed from the very beginning, it's like, you've only been subscribed for 63 months. And we're like, it's been more than 63 months. And it's probably because if you're using Prime, your Prime gaming sub, those don't automatically renew. So if like you wait until the next Sunday, you lose a month or something. It's Twitch math is weird. So, so 72 months is what it's going to be for Deft next month here. But some other people were like 66, and they've been here for way longer than we've been on Twitch. But thank you so much for being here. For those of you who maybe this is your 72nd month or it's your first month, welcome. Thank you for being here. We do video game talk here. We do have other podcasts on the network that stream on other Twitch channels but are a part of our family, like Anime Jam Session, which talks about anime, British Invaders, which talks about British television, and maybe 2025. Maybe we'll do some more. Maybe it's going to be a very interesting year. I will say that I didn't put on this that I did get my official acceptance into Dragon Con as an attending professional one more time. So I'm going to be providing my assistance at Dragon Con, hopefully continuing with the main programming track. Everything looks good for me to continue with main programming there. But you never know what can happen in 9 months. Right now, it looks really good. If not, I'm going to be doing stuff with the video game track. I'm going to be doing stuff with the digital media track. We're actually working on putting together something that's not a panel for the video game track. We're actually going to put on an event, and so we're working on getting everything kind of set up for that. Hopefully this month or next month, so we'll know what's going to go there. So I'm looking forward to meeting y'all at DragonCon. DragonCon.org. Memberships are available today here in Atlanta on Labor Day weekend. There's going to be a lot of great stuff going on that weekend. And yes, so apparently we did Smash Brothers one night, Mario Kart another night when we were trying to push to affiliate back in 2019. We used to do that type of stuff where we just, you know, play games with people. And we haven't done a lot of that on the weeknights, but, you know, maybe, I don't know. We'll figure out something. We'll figure out something to do. Mike Deft says, it's been really that long. I don't recall Smash Brothers night. I do, because Deft destroyed us. I remember that. It was not a fun night for me. And even if Deft didn't destroy me, other people destroyed me, because I'm not that great at Smash Brothers. Anyway. So thank you so much for everybody. There is a hype train that's going on. You know, it's actually at level 4. That's a lot. Thank you so much for that. Rob Roberts says, for a completely unrelated reason, Civilization 7 is out next month, and you don't need sleep. No, I don't need sleep. I've learned this. I've played a little bit more Balatro, and that's how I know I don't need sleep. I have won a couple more times in Balatro. I know I'm late on the bandwagon. Everybody else discovered Balatro last year. I didn't get it for the Switch until 2 weeks ago. So, you know, yeah, I've won a couple more times. I'm not going to hit any of the higher antes that much, but I'm still enjoying it. I'm still having fun. And I'll get back to Picross soon. I'll get back to my first love, Picross, soon. But right now it's Balatro. Anyway, speaking of the Switch... one of the things that I am not a fan of talking about here on the show are leaks and rumors. And no matter how plausible it seems, I really try, unless it's like a super slow news week or something that's really credible from somebody that I really trust, I don't like to talk about leaks and rumors. And I have been really avoiding, like, I haven't even been looking at any of the Switch 2 leaks, right? Because it's not going to be called the Switch 2. So I'm using my quotey fingers. The Switch 2, you know, kind of like, you know, we all called it the Wii U successor is what the Switch was called or something. And I haven't been looking. And I know that there have been companies that are like, oh, here's the mold of, you know, we're making official accessories. And here's a mold that we're, you know, trying to, that we're making all of our stuff off of. And I know that people are doing that. And Nintendo has not said anything, which is totally their right. And I have always been of the opinion that Nintendo doesn't need to say anything until they want to. Because I can't think of anybody who has... not bought a console just because they did not announce it early enough. Now, maybe they didn't get it on launch, but I don't know anybody who said, you know what, I really would love to play the games that are on this console, but dang it, they didn't announce it until February 2025. So now, on principle, I'm not going to buy it. I don't know anybody that legitimately does that. I'm sure somebody on the internet has said that to be funny, haha, just to be difficult and different, but nobody legitimately has said, oh, I would have bought it if they had done their press conference online in September of 2024. So Nintendo doesn't need to show you anything until... they actually are wanting to get your money. Nobody can pre-order it now. And if you can pre-order it now, don't trust who you pre-ordered it from. Nobody can pre-order it now. Nobody's got any money down on this yet. But you know it's coming, so if you need to save up money, save up the money. Mike Deft says there are people probably for economic reasons won't buy it because of the timing, but other than that, people are being dumb. But the timing of the launch, right? Is not going to change. if they're going to release the console, if the console, let's say it's going to come out in June of 2025, and you know it's coming this year. We all know it's coming out this year. So you can go ahead and save up for it. But I don't know somebody who said, well, I would have bought it in September of 2025 or October of 2025, but they didn't announce it. They didn't show me anything until April when I wanted to see it in January. Like, that it's yes, because of the launch date, people will just not buy it for economic reasons, but nobody has said, just because you didn't announce it, I'm not going to buy it. And, this also happens with video games. Why have we not seen more Grand Theft Auto 6? Because we don't need to see it. And people are going to be like, well, I want to see it. Well, yes, people. There are people that need to see it because they do content creation and they want to make six-hour YouTube videos, analyzing a 15-second piece of footage, and that's how they make their living. They probably want to see it, but it's not going to affect if somebody buys Grand Theft Auto 6 or not. When it comes out, it's going to come out, and people are going to buy it based on what's going on there. Nobody's going to say, I'm never buying Grand Theft Auto 6 because they didn't show me a trailer until it was about to come out. Tigerclaw says, the question actually becomes, should you buy it? Should you save up for it? If you already own the original Switch, how much of a difference will it be when what you have is good enough? Here's the great thing about this, is that you can go ahead and do what SSJ and Matt in our chat says. Save $400 to $500 for the console, game, and extras. Which might not be enough, but who knows. Save up for it. If, when they do announce it, there's no reason for you to get it, guess what? You've saved up $500 that you can put towards something else. So what's the problem here? Michikin says, the only game I wanted to see was Hollow Knight 2, but I'm giving up on that one. Is that Silksong? You're never getting Silksong. I'm sorry. So yeah. So here's my advice. If you're upset that Nintendo hasn't announced anything about the Switch 2, and you're on the fence on if you need it or not, start saving up money as if you do need it. Do what you need to do to put the money away, because it's obviously a luxury item, but do what you need to do to put the money away. And then if it turns out you don't need it or it doesn't appeal to you, take that money that you put toward it and put it towards something you actually do want. And you've already got a head start on that next thing. Is that a new gaming PC? Is that a new graphics card? Is that one of the new NVIDIA 5000 series? If you don't want the Switch 2, you could just take the money that you put in towards the Switch successor and put it towards getting an NVIDIA 5800, 5900, whatever. Right? I do a financial podcast now. Financial advice from me. Don't take financial advice from me. So anyway... talking about CES, why we got on this topic, is that there was actually a company showing Switch accessories or Switch successor accessories at CES, and Nintendo's like, no, I don't think so. GameSpot reports that Nintendo's next console is the talk of the town in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, due in part to the peripheral company Genki claiming to know what Nintendo is cooking up. So now, for the first time, Nintendo has broken its silence and commented on the leaks. I will say, when I was in Las Vegas over Christmas and we took the monorail to go up to the north side, you pass by the convention center and all the CES signage was already up. So I did see CES, 3 weeks before CES, but I saw the signs saying CES. So I have technically now been to CES. I just was there, 3 weeks before everybody else. Anyway, a spokesperson told Japanese newspaper the Senkei Shimbun, which was translated by Automaton, that the images and videos from CES were not official. A spokesperson told CNET Japan, also translated by Automaton, that, quote, the gaming hardware that Genki claims to be Nintendo hardware at CES is official and was not provided to the company by Nintendo, unquote. At CES, Genki created a mock-up of the Switch 2 that it claimed was based on a real Switch 2 console that it saw, going on to say that the company was surprised by the media attention. Later, however, Genki told GameSpark that its mock-up was in fact based only on leaks, not from seeing the systems firsthand, and that it doesn't actually know what Nintendo is planning. Genki also said at CES that it expects the Switch 2 to launch in April of 2025. I don't think so. In addition to the leaks that stem from Genki, other reports claim to reveal the first details on the Switch 2's new Joy-Cons, which could include a new feature and a more ergonomic design. Nintendo has confirmed that it will announce its next console by the end of March of 2025, basically the end of their first quarter. So that's for their investors. So a reveal could happen very soon. Many are expecting the console to then launch later in the year. Genki kind of was, this was perfect by Genki. Now everybody knows who Genki is, making their accessories, because they were surprised by the media attention. No, you weren't. You knew what you were doing. They're not, these people aren't dumb. Now, there are companies that claim that they have seen Switch hardware. There are people that are working officially with Nintendo. Nintendo claims Genki is not one of those companies, but there are people that have talked about it, and there are very credible things like the magnetic Joy-Cons, which would help, you know, solve some of the issues that at least I have with them. And, you know, some other aspects of the Switch 2 that they've, because they're making peripherals and accessories for them. But I would just say wait for Nintendo to actually talk about things. Go ahead, save up money now, and if it's not the next Switch, whatever they're going to call it, if they're going to call it the Switch U or the Super Switch or something completely different, and if it's not what you're looking for and you feel like you don't actually need it, then save up for something that you do want. S. Jared Matt says they did already announce that it will be backwards compatible with the Switch. Yes, they would basically have to do that if they want, especially if they want parents to buy the Switch, because yes, you know, Nintendo is for everybody, but it's also for parents to give to their kids. And every single time Nintendo has put out a new console, the will it work with my old library was always a problem, because and this is going back to the days of the Super Nintendo, when the Super Nintendo was announced and you couldn't play the original Nintendo cartridges on it, parents everywhere were very confused. Why do I need to, I have to buy a new box and none of my existing stuff works with it? And it was a new concept for that, because Nintendo had taken over. Like, yes, Nintendo wasn't the first console, but it wasn't the cultural phenomenon even that the Atari VCS was, which later got changed to the 2600. But even then, like, the Atari 5200 could play the 2600 games. And you know, they had adapters to be able to play the old games in them, so you could still use your old stuff. And by 1990, everybody was used to VCRs and VHS tapes and stuff, and when you bought a new VCR, all your existing VHS tapes worked with it. So why isn't your Nintendo the same thing? So, and you can even look, there are news reports about how one of the controversies is that you can't play your existing games on it. And it was a money grab from the Japanese trying to get all the Americans' hardworking money. So, yes, it's going to be backwards compatible, but all the other stuff, we don't, you know, it's going to have better graphics, it's going to have a better dock, it's going to have better Joy-Cons, but what all that means, we don't know. And we will know by the end of Q1 before they have to figure out what the stock looks like for their publicly traded company. One of the things that I don't think this was announced at CES, but this kind of goes into something that I talked about last week, is, you know, the VR market, which usually in the past has been a big thing at CES. And I don't really know if it's been a huge thing at CES this year, but it was the it thing a couple years ago, especially when the metaverse, rolling my eyes, metaverse was a big thing. But VR has kind of taken a step back for other technologies and other things that have been that are now more on people's minds, especially when you talk about AI and generative AI and LLMs. And that's really what a lot of the stuff is that you're seeing. Yes, that's the buzzword for this year. In the past, it's been NFTs. And so this time it's AI. But last week we talked about how the Apple Vision Pro, they haven't discontinued it. Apple Vision Pro, they ceased production because they believed they have now produced enough units to satisfy the demand for the lifetime of the product. So Apple is like, we're not discontinuing it. We're continuing to support it, but we don't need to make any more units. All the units we're going to need have been manufactured, and we're going to be fine. Meta is actually doing a little, going the next step with their high-end headset. Road to VR reports that Meta has officially discontinued the Quest Pro, the company's first mixed reality headset. So when they say mixed reality, virtual reality is where your entire reality is replaced by a virtual environment. So that is everything you see is virtually generated. Augmented reality is when virtual images are put on top of the your existing environment. It is augmenting your existing reality. That's augmented reality. So mixed reality is a combination of both. It's a headset that can do both, where it can either be completely virtual or augmented with virtual elements. And so that's where a lot of these companies are going now, usually with the use of cameras, is the way the Apple Vision Pro does. And I believe that's also how the Meta Quest, the Meta Quest line, they do it, where they have cameras popping in, unlike the HoloLens or the Tilt 5 headset that is true augmented reality, where you literally can see through the glass and it just puts the holograms on your eyeballs. So a mixed reality headset, this was what the Meta Quest Pro did, where you could have both virtual and augmented reality with the same headset. Meta announced back in September that it was winding down Quest 2 and Quest Pro sales. At the time, the company said remaining stock would be sold through the end of the year or until they run out, whichever came first. It is now the new year. Now, in place of the Quest Pro order page, Meta is suggesting users buy the Quest 3, quote, for the ultimate mixed reality experience and premium comfort, unquote. You can still buy the Quest Pro's Touch Pro controllers, however, as they support Quest 2 and above. Released in 2022 at the eye-watering price of $1,500, $2,000 cheaper than the Apple Vision Pro, Meta hoped to use the headset to kickstart its mixed reality ambitions among consumers, as it was the first to offer color pass-through, pancake lenses, and both face and eye tracking, coming in strong contrast to the company's other offering at the time, the Quest 2. Nearly a year after launch, it was apparent that the Pro-level headset wasn't appealing to users nearly to the degree Meta had initially hoped, prompting the company to knock Quest Pro down to $1,000. To complicate matters, high initial pricing of Quest Pro put a strain on developers, which resulted in very few compelling MR experiences out of the gate. Because Meta doesn't provide Quests to developers unless they're actually owned by Meta. If you're a developer, you still got to buy it yourself and then code for it. It was clear what was needed was a more accessible headset. In October of 2023, Meta released Quest 3, which housed much of the tech seen in Quest Pro, minus face and eye tracking, and at the starting price of $499. Clamping down yet on further on price performance, Meta released Quest 3S a year later, which houses the same Snapdragon XR2 Gen 2 chipset as Quest 3, although including the same cost-saving Fresnel lenses and displays as Quest 2, marking the company's most energetic push to capitalize on its mixed reality ambitions. While Meta's strategy to capture the console price point with the price point, that's a marketing term, road to VR, don't use that term, price. Use price, don't use price point. With Quest has been a winning strategy thus far, what's uncertain is whether the company will head back to the Pro pricing structure anytime soon. The Information, another outlet, reported that Meta was canceling a potential Quest Pro follow-up. However, Meta CTO Andrew Ballsworth partially refuted those claims, saying that, quote, there might be a Quest Pro 2, there might not be. I'm not really telling you, but I really won't, but I will say, don't believe everything you read about what's been stopped or started, unquote, which is true. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know that goes on behind closed doors at a lot of the big corporations. You don't know what R&D is working on, and some departments are more tight-lipped than others. See, anytime we get surprised at an announcement of something that comes out, happens all the time. Doesn't happen all the as often as we think, because we hear about, and what we remember are the leaks and the things that we knew about, and it was like, oh, it's the worst kept secret. There are actually some really good kept secrets. We just don't remember those because they're not as interesting. Esther and Matt says, Linus Tech Tips did a video of a couple of VR headsets coming out of CES, all smaller companies I haven't heard of, but some interesting looking headsets. And here's the thing. What Meta did to the VR landscape really sucks, in my opinion, for what they've done. They killed the high-end PC VR market. They destroyed it. They don't outwardly support it. They don't make anything for people on the high-end side of things. So, but they were able to push out the, you know, like the Vive. That they were able to, in a commercial sense, push out the Vive. They were able to push out Valve, the Valve Index, for better or for worse. Like, yes, you can still buy a Valve Index, but Valve isn't doing that much with it anymore. And it's because the consumer spoke, and Meta is like, okay, we don't need to worry about high-end VR anymore. And we also took away the market from the people who did want to worry about high-end VR. Like, Microsoft's out of the game. The only people really doing high-end VR is Apple, but it's still in a, you know, standalone headset. I can't use my beefy PC to drive things. Now, yes, I know that there's this, the Quest Link, the Link cable, so you can use your Quest with your PC. But if I don't have a Quest, I don't get to see a lot of that. Like, if I get my PSVR 2 working with my PC, that's great. But a lot of the last innovations in VR, you have to be on a Quest, on a lower-end Quest headset, to experience them. And they're not going to work with higher-end equipment. So, I am kind of miffed about that. That essentially Meta killed the PC VR market, and then because they thought they were going to get into it, and they're like, you know what? No, we're just okay with killing that market. Like, you don't need high end stuff. You just need our mobile processor, and that's all the VR you need. So I understand, like, the Quest Link cable works, but it is sometimes finicky from what I understand. Like, I've never used it myself. But a lot of times when I'm, like, looking at VR games that do work on my headset and I'm in the forums, it's all people with a Quest trying to get it to work with their Link cable. And it doesn't always work. So I'm sad about that. Which is why also you don't see me talk that much about VR, because I don't have a Quest. I do have a Rift S, an Oculus Rift S, but it's not supported anymore. Like, there's no point in using it. Like, nothing works for it that doesn't work with the Valve Index, because Meta doesn't support the PC VR anymore. Meta is officially killing their high-end headset for right now. They probably have the plans on ice to make another pro-end headset, but it turns out the market has moved on from that. And what I've actually told people is, they're like, do you think VR is going to be the next big thing in gaming? Is it going to be the next big thing? And I actually say no. Now, I love VR. I'm a VR, like, I was a big VR evangelist. That's why, you know, people in the pod culture and chat took a drink when I started talking about VR, because I used to talk about it all the time. I don't talk about it as much anymore. But I think that the time for VR to really make its big jump to be the next big thing was about 5 years ago. And since it didn't do that 5 years ago, it's too late now. Which I am now realizing is kind of juxtaposing with my talking about the Switch, where since they didn't announce something, now we're not going to, you know, nobody's going to not buy a Switch because they didn't announce it early enough. Now, like, and I'm actually saying that maybe that's the case. Now that VR has been around for almost, like, consumer VR launched 9 years ago. It was 2016 is when the first HTC Vive and the first consumer Oculus Rift came out. Everything was developer kits before then. So you had to be a developer. It was very wonky to set up. It wasn't very consumer friendly until 2016. It's been almost 9 years now. And they had 4 to 5 years where people were just waiting, what is the question that this answers? And by the time we might have gotten that answer, which we never did get that answer, 4K gaming is now, you know, became the new thing. And that's what took over, is the 4K gaming, cloud gaming. That was the next big thing in gaming. And VR, they were like, yeah, that was cool, but, you know, as you know, pod culture says, VR is the new 3D TV. Nobody cares about playing games in 3D. They don't. You know, if you want to play a game in actual stereoscopic 3D, your choices were virtual reality or the Nintendo 3DS. And the 3DS is gone. And nobody's really playing VR that much anymore. As Jared and Matt says, timing with the pandemic was both rough and probably the best time it could have capitalized on everything. There's only one VR experience that says you must play this in VR. There is literally only one, and that's Beat Saber. And I've had people argue with me about that, but if you think about the actual design of the game and how Beat Saber is played, in order to port Beat Saber to work on a monitor and to have you play it on a monitor, you would have to fundamentally change the game so much it would no longer be Beat Saber. Beat Saber requires you to be standing in a space, in a 3D space, and it requires you to have motion at specific areas. And all of that, the way the Beat Saber is designed today, can only be done in VR. Just about every other VR game I can think of, you can port to a monitor. And either you may still need to use motion controls, or you can use a mouse and keyboard, or you can port it in such a way that you can still play it and it is still the same game. We only had one Beat Saber. There was no, everybody's, you know, a lot of times when I'm saying, you know, if you want to buy a new game console, wait until there's three games that you can't play anywhere else that you want to play on that console. Then you can buy that console. And for VR, Beat Saber was one. I don't know what number two and number three are. Because if you think about it, any of the other big games that you're thinking of that are VR specific, like Half-Life Alyx, it's not as good, but people absolutely, like day one, people were porting it and making mods to make it so you didn't need the VR. Now, it wasn't that great of a game when you used it with a mouse and keyboard because a lot of the elements they made in it were for VR, but it was fundamentally still the same game. And you can play it with a mouse and keyboard, you can play it on a monitor, you can experience the story of it, but it's still the game. Beat Saber, you couldn't do that with. And even like the other rhythm games like Synth Riders, there's a way that you can do it with the analog thumbsticks to where you can play Synth Riders without VR and it's the same game. And a lot of the games are very much like that. You know, Autica is one of my favorite ones, and it's by Harmonix. It's a mostly forgotten Harmonix game, and it was basically you're shooting guns at the notes, but it's really just VR OS. OS Totake Ondan, Elipede Agents. It's essentially that. But, so, the game fundamentally can be the same. It's just you would be playing it on a touchscreen, which is what we do with OS. Rob Roberts says, I sort of feel that way about Tetris Effect. Sure, the game works on the monitor, but you don't understand the hype until you do it in VR. But I get that makes VR a harder sell because the perception of, oh, I don't need VR for it wins. The thing about Tetris Effect, and that's a very good example, because when I explain it to people, they're like, what about VR and what about Tetris Effect and VR is so special? And here's what it is about Tetris Effect. When you play Tetris Effect in VR, it is literally the exact same thing you see on your TV. The backgrounds are more 3D. But fundamentally, the thing that you're playing on is exactly the same as what you see on your TV. What Tetris Effect in VR, why it's so great in VR, is not because of what it adds. It's because of what it takes away. What Tetris Effect in VR takes away is the part of your room that's around your TV. The fan that's going on, that's in your peripheral vision, a pet running across the floor while you're playing. And if you've got headphones, it's taking away the hum of your air conditioner or, you know, some other noise, random noise, ambient noise going on. And all you have is Tetris. Your entire reality from your, in terms of your eyes and your ears, is just Tetris, nothing else. You don't see your entertainment center in your peripheral vision. All you see is Tetris Effect. And that is why that is great in VR. But ultimately, it's the same game. Questbus says, I feel VR is fascinating tech, but on a personal level, I don't feel it answers any questions that my current hardware already does for what I use it for. And yes, that's the thing. We never found the question. It was an answer in search of a question, and we kept trying to find what the question was, and we didn't find the question in time, and I actually worry that it's too late, and that's why we're seeing things like the Meta Quest Pro discontinued. The Apple Vision Pro has been, you know, they stopped having to make it. Apple Vision Pro's not discontinued. I want to make that very clear. They just don't need to make anymore because they've got way more supply than there is demand, and so they're just going to work with what they've got, and they're going to be just fine. Let's talk about happier news about where you can maybe do more things. So the big thing that I understand that was going on at CES was about handheld gaming. We are really into the handheld gaming side of things. The Switch kicked it off, obviously, and everybody loved playing in handheld. And then Valve came in with the Steam Deck, and now we've got, you know, the you can play your Steam games on the go. I have not yet bit on a Steam Deck. I'm close, but I have not yet bit on a Steam Deck yet. There's no fundamental reason why. I just haven't. But maybe I don't need a Steam Deck. Maybe I need something else. I don't know. The Verge reports that SteamOS was always supposed to be bigger than Valve's own Steam Deck, and 2025 is the year it finally expands. Not only will Lenovo ship the first third-party SteamOS handheld this May, Valve has now revealed it will let you install a working copy of SteamOS on other handhelds even sooner than that. Pierre Le Griffals, one of the lead designers of the Steam Deck and SteamOS, tells The Verge that a beta for other handhelds is slated to ship after March of this year, and that you might discover the OS just starts working properly after that happens. Him and his co-designer, Lawrence Yang, would not confirm which handhelds might start working, but there are some obvious candidates. The company confirmed in August that it had been adding support for the Asus ROG Allies controls. Also, quite a few PC gamers have also discovered that Bazite, a fork of Valve's Steam Deck experience that was testing on an Ally X and vastly preferred to Windows on there, also works wonderfully with the Lenovo Legion Go. There still aren't that many handhelds out there at the end of the day, but Valve was probably taking advantage of the work that the Linux gaming community has already done, and Valve was flattered by Bazite, from what I understand. Quote, "We have nothing against it." This is Yang talking. "It's a great community product that delivers a lot of value to people that want a similar experience on devices right now. In a lot of ways, Bazite is good as a good way to kind of get the latest and greatest of what we've been working on and to test it," unquote. So look at that. They're actually like complimentary of the community doing something that they're not. But Bazite is not in a state where a hardware manufacturer could preload it on a handheld, nor would Valve allow that. While users could freely download and install the SteamOS image onto their own devices, companies aren't allowed to sell it or modify it and must partner with Valve first. I get it. There are some non-selfish reasons for that. Among other things, they explain that the Lenovo Legion Go S will run the same SteamOS image as the Steam Deck itself, taking advantage of the same software updates and the same pre-cache shaders that let games load and run more smoothly, just with added hardware compatibility tweaks. Valve wants to make sure the SteamOS is a single platform, not a fragmented one. That makes a lot of sense. That is actually a very good thing. So there are always good reasons for some of these things that are like, why won't they just let anybody do it? Well, they want to make sure that it's a good experience. Because if somebody that doesn't understand what they're doing tries to do it and it isn't a good experience, they're going to get mad at Valve. They say, quote, "In general, we just want to have to make sure that we have a good pathway to work together on things like firmware updates, and you can get to things like the boot manager and the BIOS and things like that in a semi-standardized fashion, right?" Unquote. So Valve is not currently partnered with any other companies beyond Lenovo to do that collaboration. Yang says that they're not working with GPD on official SteamOS support, despite that manufacturer's claim. As Jeremath says, so SteamOS game launcher on Switch 2, right? That would be something for Nintendo. I don't think Nintendo would do that. But if you tell me that the Switch successor also plays my Steam library, that's game over for people. Like, that's it right there. Not going to happen. But imagine. Imagine, you know, if what, you know, how they would destroy it all, destroy everybody else, is it would, you know, obviously would have the Switch stuff, which would be the native. It would be, you'd be able to put the SteamOS launcher on there and be able to play SteamOS, and it'd be an Xbox. Because, you know, everything's an Xbox nowadays. Get your cloud gaming. And as Sharon and Matt even says, I do think there is more than a 0% chance of a Game Pass app on the new Switch. So, like, yeah, like, so, you know, maybe it'll be an Xbox as well. So as far as other form factors, like possible SteamOS living room boxes, Valve says that you might have a good experience trying that, and partnerships are a possibility there too. They say, quote, if someone wants to bring that to the market and preload SteamOS on it, we'd be happy to talk to them, unquote. Which is why they're there at CES, probably, is to, you know, talk to these people, talk to these other manufacturers to get SteamOS on these things. And maybe then it would be both a Steam Deck and an Xbox on your TV. Valve also would not say anything about the rumors that they're developing its own Steam controller, too. The Steam controller was so underrated, and it was so misrepresented, and it was actually really good. And I still have mine. I very rarely use it, so it's still in good condition. But, yeah, I'd love a new Steam controller, too. A VR headset with wands, or possibly in its own living room box, but it did say that, quote, we might expect more Steam input-compatible controllers in the future, unquote. So, Valve has some stuff that they can announce, and none of them will have the number 3, so it's going to be fine. No threes. They don't do threes. What we do here, though, we do take a quick music break. So we're going to do that right now so I can get some water, rest my voice up a little bit. Then we'll talk to Rob about the stuff that maybe he saw looking through all the CES stuff, because I didn't really pay that much attention to CES. I know, like, NVIDIA announced stuff, and then, like, there were monitors and keyboards and a chair that can heat or cool you, depending. I don't know. Lots of stuff at CES. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
Well, at least somebody did in 2025, choosing me. That was actually the voice actor doing that. That was a Video Games Live Kickstarter reward. I was like, do this for my podcast, for my Kickstarter donation of, like, Video Games Live, like, level 5 or whatever. But yeah, somebody chose me, and I'm glad that you chose me to spend your Sunday night with here. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to choose to leave a bumper. But if you do choose to leave a bumper, then you can contact me and either send me an MP3 of just your voice if you want audio only, or a video of just your voice of you speaking. I will choose which DMCA violation I want to put underneath it. Contact me on Discord, I guess, or on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com. So that's where you can find me during the week, over or VogNetwork.com/Discord or at BobbyBlackWolf.com over on Blue Sky. So coming up next, though, we do have Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them. And they might have a little handle, a little bit more on what was going on at CES. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So CES was it was this weekend. I don't usually pay that much attention to CES because it's a lot more hardware and a lot more gadgets and gizmos. And, like, yes, I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. But other than, like, Stern Pinball, which they had the D&D table there, that we talked about last week.
Oh, that would have been fun to get your hands on.
Yeah. So because they were shown, they always show off a lot of their stuff there. They don't make any new announcements. I mean, I guess the D&D announcement, they did that so they could show it off there. But like Arcade mm-hmm. 1UP, I don't think they announced anything. They just showed their current
I think they had warned people they weren't going to do major announcements this year, and I don't recall them doing any last year either. For whatever reason, CES is probably out of their rotation. I'm going to guess because they probably do more holiday pushes, and CES is probably just too early in that cycle
I believe they're there. It's just they don't release anything new.
Right.
They have a booth, so like I think they've got a Fast and Furious arcade cabinet.
Sell you if you're willing to buy it.
Yeah. So. But what other stuff other than the, the whole Switch 2 leak, blah, 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 what other stuff did you notice that was at CES? Because I think you're talking a little bit more about them.
Yes. And there's a couple things I would say. I'd say one, you kind of get the more general Sony set of information. Such as, Sony, they do their TVs and things like that, but they talk a little bit about movies as well. Mm-hmm. So we know that there are some video game properties that are going to become movies, such as Horizon Zero Dawn, which I don't think surprises anybody, and also Helldivers, which, maybe a little mm-hmm. more like, oh, that's interesting, but, that game did well enough, and I think everybody kind of noticed the Starship Troopers sort of influence, whereas I believe that was a book originally or another form of media.
It was a book.
But it's kind of like The Witcher, right? Now it's known more as this other kind of property, right? So I would say, so it's kind of interesting how it's kind of come full circle. The other big thing and something we were keeping our eye on with Orange Lounge Radio last week is there's this company, we talk a lot about Arcade 1UP, but they're certainly not the only company that are making, kind of home versions of different games. We have another one called My Arcade, which makes the little baby machines. So you can see some of them when you're watching on stream over at VOG Network, some very, very tiny baby machines kind of sit behind me as we broadcast live. And you've probably seen these in like Target or Walmart or online or wherever. But My Arcade is actually putting together some, and you kind of brought this up earlier, some handhelds. And mm-hmm. so Atari, we got a little more information about the Atari Game Station that's coming because we had just a little teaser last week. And then I believe My Arcade is doing a different type of retro collaboration as well. Oh, yes, it's going to take Super Nintendo and Genesis cartridges in a handheld format, which I don't think it's the first time we've seen something like that. But My Arcade is pretty mm-hmm. good about getting out there in the Target and the Walmarts. We might start to see these a little more. The other thing that I thought was really cool from that front is now instead of a little baby arcade machine, they are going to be putting out a baby pinball machine. It's a Atari Balls of Steel. That's the name of the table. Pinball Player Pro. And basically it's kind of... It's funny because when you see it, you realize it's really the concept of one of these baby machines, but like on its side. It's the whole like, oh, the monitor is just on its side now. And it kind of, it adds a few more parts to make it work. But it is that same sort of baby size to it. And I think it actually looks pretty cool. So that was something they showed as well. $150 for one of those, though. So I think the size is a little bigger. I don't think it's quite the size of maybe a... little baby tabletop arcade. At least I'm getting a hard sense from the pictures. I'm trying to see if they actually have some dimensions on this thing. I'm not seeing any, but so it might be a little bit bigger. For me, there's always been that struggle about, I'm running out of space in my house. I would love to get a... and I'm going to drop a link to this little pinball player in chat so you can see what that looks like. Mm-hmm. I've been tempted to get one of these. I would love to get a pinball machine in my house, but I have no space. But a baby pinball machine is like, oh, okay. That might be interesting. Now, I don't know if Balls of Steel is the table I'm looking for, but if this was a table that was really maybe up my alley a little more, I might be super into it. So it would just, I hope this one does well enough to justify the Pinbot. The mm-hmm. Addams Family. Oh, there you go. You got it up on stream. Great. Yeah. So, that type of thing. So you can see how it's like baby. It's not itty bitty, but it's, it's an interesting size. So.
Yeah. And I was actually also showing up on the stream. I've got a, my mother-in-law knows I like video games. And so she always likes to send, in Christmas, try to get me stuff that she thinks I would like instead of mm-hmm. looking at my wish list of the things that I'd actually like. And because I don't have any of these, so sent me a My Arcade little baby cabinet. And what's interesting about this one specifically, it's just called Retro Machine. I've got a Pac-Man one, right? There's a Pac-Man one right here, but this one is Retro Machine, and it literally is It's like one of those little NES in a box, but it's all like knockoff games. One of those like 22
and
one
cartridges,
200 and 200 in one.
Okay.
And and it's just all like, you know, generic names. So I don't know what they all are, but yeah. So it's a little baby arcade and stuff. So I mean, it's sweet, and I was played with it for a little bit, and then I have it sitting here so I can hold it up here.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about those things is that even if you aren't like super into the games, the aesthetic is really cool. Like, let's be real. Like, you know, I have these big replica machines. Yes, I do play them, and yes, more than once, but it kind of more serve as like a nice piece of furniture might. You know, it's something like it's just a nice aesthetic and adds to, you know, the nerdiness of my little cave I have here upstairs.
Yeah, and especially now when, like, you know, a lot of people work from home, but also you and I, we appear on other things.
Yes.
Having that background is a big, big thing, because I mentioned this somewhere else as I was hanging out with some of the Dragon Con, the Be Awesome Together people. And they're what are your ambitions for the coming year? And what I'm actually going to do, probably not for Sunday night, but I am going to get a setup with like a rolling standing desk for my basement. So I can do things like if I'm on like the Be Awesome Together or doing something with Dragon Con, instead of doing it from here, I will be standing basically in the doorway to my arcade with a light on me and a camera and the mic and everything. But that way my arcade is behind me.
The Bobby Blackwell satellite desk.
Yes. And so that is where I will do some like secondary stuff from.
That's great.
Rather than just doing it from here. So that's one of the things I'm going to be trying to do sometime in 2025. So
yeah, it's a really cool aesthetic down there. If you guys haven't seen like video or whatever, Bobby has a TikTok, and you have about a week left to go see those TikToks. If all goes the way it seems it's going to go, but you can see what the arcade down there really looks like. It's pretty cool.
Yep. So what are you going to be talking about other than CES? What are you going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
Well, gosh, you got the big one out of the way there. Let's see. What else are we going to talk about tonight? Outside of CES, we know about some changes to the Xbox reward programs. Mm-hmm. Then now finally, after all this time, is going to incorporate some PC things. Lots of news as well on the Microsoft front about some of their plans for 2025. Some has been speculation for a long time, some otherwise. And then why don't we also talk tonight about a reboot of a series that, has been in pop culture a few times. I think there was a Netflix show and all this stuff, but a whole new generation now will be able to ask, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Okay, I got to mention this real quick, because you mentioned, and it has nothing to do with the news that you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
My high school marching band, their halftime show this year was Carmen Sandiego.
I love it.
And it was something that they had bought, like, because now, like, there are companies you can buy, like, the marching stuff, and then, you know, you buy and license and all that stuff, and they do the arrangement for you and all that stuff. And it's based on the Netflix show. So it's basically based on some of the music from the Netflix show, but also Carmen, the opera, you know, because it's Carmen, you know, so it's kind of part of that. And
I believe that they said the name came from that.
Yeah.
It's either credited to that or like an animal.
Yeah.
Kind of unknown which.
But they had that, but then they also had like the Mission Impossible theme as part of the show, you know, because heist and stuff like that. So it was like, it's loosely based on it. They do not have the rockapella. It was not in there. Because I asked, I'm like, oh, is the rockapella song in there? No, because the kids today don't know it.
Yeah, no, true. But also it might. It's probably not licensable that same way.
Yeah. So, which is a bummer, because like Rockapella would absolutely love the money for, like, you know, it being,
right?
Because you don't get that much money for a marching band arrangement. Like, it's not that, you know. So, yeah. So, I mean, I was like, even like, at least like, just like put it in there once, like just the, like that, what you sang in there once. Yeah. But no, they didn't even do that.
Oh, man. So. Yeah, I'm with Matt in chat. Sad that kids these days never experienced rockapella.
Yep.
Seriously. What did they get? Glee?
And Glee never did rockapella.
No, they didn't. Which is why it got canceled.
Yeah. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. If you are going to be in Atlanta, I am not like doing any kind of official appearance here. I'm just going to go play games. Dice and Diversions is a convention. It's by the Southern Fried Gaming Expo people this weekend here in the Atlanta area. It is a much smaller convention. It is their take on Gen Con, basically. But it's all board games and tabletop games and card games and things like that. So if you are going to be at Dice and Diversions this weekend in Atlanta, I will be there as well, just playing board games. I'm not, no panels. Like, I actually bought my own badge in. No panels, no commitments, no nothing. But if you are going to be at Dice and Diversions, maybe we can hang out. So, run by the same people who do Southern Fried Gaming Expo. It's is its second year. I didn't get to go last year because I was out of town. But this year, I'm here. So, I'm going to be there. And I believe MAGFest is next weekend as well. So, you know, if you're going to MAGFest, I don't know if MAGFest is... Yeah, MAGFest, I believe, is next weekend. So, please be safe if you're going up to MAGFest as well. One day, I will get back out to MAGFest. Looking forward to that at some point. Who knows? But yeah, so I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with us directly. Or if you're on the podcast feed, join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. MAGFest is the weekend after next. Thank you so much, Stump. Good to see him. Hope you, I think Stump always goes as well. So I haven't been since that one glorious year. It was in February because the hotel begged them. I haven't been since it was in February. It's hard to go there in January. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the help of the chatters who went above and beyond with a hype train here on our affiliate anniversary, which meant everybody was able to put in party hats into chat. Thank you so much for the party hats. And thank you so much for the bits and the subscriptions. So thank you so much, SSJ100 Matt, for resubscribing. Pod Culture resubscribed and said only 66 because 66 months or something is what the Twitch math says. It's wrong. Pod Culture has been here for way longer than that. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya, who said happy 4 years of being subbed plus a weird Twitch math powered 33 month streak. P.S. Party hat. Happy affiliate anniversary. Pod Culture cheered 66 bits. Rob Roberts cheered 300 bits to get our hype train leveled up. Sean 322 cheered 200 bits saying hoip. SJR and a match here, 300 bits. And then Mike Deft said, you know what? I'm going to spread the love because normally I give gift subs. I didn't this time around. But thank you so much. Mike Deft actually gifted 5 subs to the channel. So congrats, Chaz New, Apricot Sushi, Ophelia Cypher, El Gordo de Buenos Aires, and Seeger Starsick, which I believe is Shane. Thank you so much, and congrats on your subs. And then Pod Culture's like, you know what? No, I'm also going to gift 5 subs. Thank you so much. So congrats, Questbuster, Steven Van Dam. There it is. I had to look at it. So congrats, Steven Van Dam, Chewy240, Chess with Jordan, and Alan Alchemy. Congratulations. And then Dark Sakura resubscribed, sending us some love. Thank you so much for that. All right. I'm going to hit the button that says I leave. That's the button that says I leave. I will be back next Sunday night. OLR is up next. Don't believe every leak you see. But go play some video games. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.